From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled The Lord's Faithfulness, part of this series in the Book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, written by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Song of Confidence. The text is Psalm 138 and verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Wretched walking in the midst of trouble? Nay, blessed walking, since there is a special promise for it. Give me a promise, and what is the trouble? What doth my Lord teach me here to say? Why this, Thou wilt revive me. I shall have more life, more energy, more faith. Is it not often so that trouble revives us, like a breath of cold air when one is ready to faint? How angry are my enemies, and especially the arch enemy! Shall I stretch forth my hand and fight my foes? No, my hand is better employed in doing service for my Lord. Besides, there is no need, for my God will use His far-reaching arm, and He will deal with them far better than I could if I were to try. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He will, with His own right hand of power and wisdom, save me. And what more can I desire? Come, my heart, talk this promise over to thyself, till thou canst use it as the song of thy confidence, the solace of thy holiness. Pray to be revived thyself, and leave the rest with the Lord, who performeth all things for thee.
Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, my heart has been cleansed by thy grace. Rejoice that the God of creation would die on the cross in my place. Oh, how good a sinner unworthy of love find a place in thy heart. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation.
My salvation.
Desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Now an old man, Joshua looked back over his life of service to the Lord. His experiences included the deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, the passage of the Red Sea, the wilderness wanderings, and eventually the crossing of the Jordan and the conquest of the Promised Land. He was able to bear witness that the Lord had been faithful to his word in all those long years. From those words of testimony, Dr. Cairns has been drawing some encouraging lessons. First of all, we've seen that lost sinners may cast themselves with confidence upon God's offer of salvation. The Christ who saved Saul of Tarsus and changed him into Paul the Apostle is able to save all who come unto God by him. Then Joshua's words remind us that the saints may call upon God with confidence that he will answer prayer. True prayer involves submission to God's will and taking his promises at face value. The final lesson from Joshua's testimony is that the servants of the Lord may work with the confidence that their labor for God is never in vain. No matter how difficult the way or how heavy the burdens, these cannot compare to Christ's commendation, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now to conclude this message, the Lord's faithfulness Here is Dr. Cairns.
There has not been one instance in the history of the world when God failed to keep His word. Oh, there have been times when Christians have failed to enter into the promise. There have been times when Christians have failed to plead the promise. There have been times when God's people have become prayerless and carnal and unbelieving. They live their lives bereft of the riches and the fullness that is available to them in Christ because of lack of prayer and taking God at His word. But we can come today and start to pray with confidence. I don't want to, because time has almost gone, I don't want to belabor the point, but I want to say this to you, and this concerns me greatly, not just for other churches, but for this church. Concerns me deeply, not only for this church, but for me, and also for you. And however ungrammatical, it's good theology, and it's honesty for me to put me before you in that connection. And I'll tell you what concerns me. Is first of all the lack of prayer. And then secondly, the deadness, and dare I say it, the hopelessness that marks much of what is supposed to be praying. Today people pray as if they're praying to each other or praying to themselves. You hear this in the media every day. I heard, I think yesterday, a newscast on radio that was talking about Mother Teresa being so ill. And people's prayers going out to her. How often we hear that type of thing. Prayer has become I don't want to sound too harsh here, but it must be said, the stupid, senseless talk of trying to convince ourselves into a more positive frame of mind. In many so-called Christian churches, and this is especially true in the charismatic movement with its immense delusions, in many so-called Christian churches, praying has taken on no more and no less meaning than the imaging techniques of Eastern religions or of the so-called New Age movement. You've got to imagine it so clearly. You've got to give it substance in your imagining, and that's the way it will come to pass. My friend, that is utter rubbish. That has nothing to do with prayer. Prayer is the confident approach of a blood-bought people on the ground of the blood atonement of Christ to the throne of God. Prayer is the assured lifting up of the promises of God unto God. Prayer is the humble submission of all our wills and our desires to the will of God revealed in His holy word. Prayer is taking what God says at its face value. John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Can you imagine that? The only thing that God will deny to His people when they come to Him is when they pray in their ignorance of the will of God, when like children they come and they ask for something that their all-wise Heavenly Father knows is not for their good at this time, however much it appears to be so to them. But when we ask in His will, He always hears us. My, that's a tremendous promise. There are so many things in Scripture that the Bible declares to be the will of God for the saints of God. We don't need to ponder them. We know they are the will of God, for the Bible tells us them. When God commands me to do something, that is the will of God. I can come, therefore, and take from Him the promise of the power to do that thing and expect His blessing on it. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. We come empty-handed, but we come to the God of glory. We come in great need, but we come to the One who can meet every need. I want us to see the greatness of our God and the greatness of His willingness to answer prayer. The Lord does not shroud this matter of praying in swathes of mystery. He says, there's My promise. I have never broken it. Does that not encourage us to pray with confidence? I can't apply this in every direction in which it needs to be applied, but let me come to one of the most urgent and soul-searching areas of life. Many of you are parents of young children. You're rearing those children in a world that's getting more and more wicked, more and more godless, more and more like hell on earth. Many a time you've had thoughts, what is going to happen? What will the world be like when my children grow up? What is going to happen to them? I want to tell you, God has said the promise is to you and to your children. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, start in chapter 6, and verse 4, where you've got the great hero Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And read on down as to what the Lord says about God's people and their offspring. Read on through that book and see the promises God gives. And I want to tell you, as a Christian parent, you can come and lay hold of God's promise, knowing that God will keep His word. There hath not failed aught of any good thing that the Lord has spoken to His people. All has come to pass. That leads me to a third application of this great truth. That is, that the servants of the Lord may work with confidence that their consecrated lives and service will never be wasted. The Lord will bless them as He has said. You take these words of our text, they're the words of an old man. There's Dr. Bob Jones Sr. who said, the devil has no happy old man. That's so very true. The devil has no happy old man. But here's an old man facing death in a few short years. And as he looks back on his life, there are no regrets. Now, that's not to say he didn't do anything wrong. He did. We have seen that in studying this book. But he's looking back without regrets. He's looking back without frustration. And he's looking back without disappointment. Now, I want to tell you, that is really saying something. When you come to the end of life and you can look back, no regrets, even though you recognize your own sin and failure. No frustration, no disappointment. When you can come to the end of life and look back like that, my friend, you've experienced supernatural grace. How many people are the very opposite? They come to the end of their lives disillusioned. When they reach the end of the journey, they realize that they have wasted their life on the things that are frivolous and worthless and even wicked. Haven't you heard the slogan of the Black College Foundation or something of that nature? That a wasted mind is a terrible thing. Can we not say a wasted life is a terrible thing? To have the gift of life, to have so many years here on earth, and then at the end of it all, to look back and say, I wasted it. Then look forward to the blackness of darkness forever. I want to tell you, a life is wasted if it doesn't lead to heaven, and a life is wasted if it is one to influence other people to hell. I wonder today, if this were your last day on earth, would you look back on a wasted life? Would you look back on wasted opportunity, wasted talent, wasted ability? I want to tell you that no life that's given to Christ is ever wasted. Ask Joshua, was his life wasted? No, he says, there hasn't failed one thing of all that God promised me. It all came to pass. You ask David, the great king of Israel, looking back in his reign, Solomon his son said, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he hath promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Christians coming to the end of life can look back. The Lord promises to give His presence to His people. Does He keep that word? Jesus said, I am with you always. You give your life to Christ. You set out to serve Christ. It may cost you everything in terms of this world. When you set out to serve the Lord, He doesn't promise that He's going to make you a millionaire, and He doesn't promise that He's only even going to give you a wage that would reach the poverty level according to the world. He doesn't promise any of that, but He promises you, I'll be with you. You set out to serve me. Forget about money, forget about position in the world, forget about all the acclaim of the world, forget about what the world counts greatness. You set out to serve me as I direct you according to my word, and I will give you my presence. I want to tell you, where the presence of the Lord is, there's everything that a Christian needs. If you have the Lord's presence, you can't lack anything that you need. He promises to give you His power. This is a vital thing. I remember when God called me to go into the work of the ministry, it was such an appalling thought. What appalled me was not the fact that it was a call in Northern Ireland in those days to shame, for our church was shamed and hated because of its stand for God. That's not what appalled me. What appalled me was not that the churches were so small that, humanly speaking, you couldn't be paid enough to live on. That's not what appalled me, for I honestly believed that if God called, He would meet every need. What appalled me was this, the thought of going forward without the power and the anointing and the enabling of God to do His work. How could I ever do the work of God? But the promise is, ye shall receive power. You shall receive power. God never commissions a witness without giving that witness the power to do what He has called him to do. God never sends His people to war at their own charges. If He sends a David against Goliath, He will guide the stone from the sling and slay the giant. If He sends a Gideon out against the Midianites, He will use the small, despised band to overthrow the mighty enemy. Whatever God commands you to do, He says, I'll give you the power to do it. That's the promise. Don't fear then to step out in the service of God. He says, I'll meet your needs. My God is able to supply all your needs, physically, materially, spiritually, emotionally, every way, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you know, on top of it all, He promises to reward your faithful service.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.